देवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानाधिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट दृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् This is the sixth canto, chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajahmila. And we're on the second text. So let's kindly repeat.
Pravitti lakshanaha cha eva traigunya vishayaha mune yah asau alina prakritehe Gunasarga punaha punaha pravitti lakshanascheva traigunya vishayo mune yosau alina prakriter gunasarga punaha punaha pravitti lakshanascheva त्रैगुण्यो विषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्ग पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्य विषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्ग पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्यो विषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्गः पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्या विषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्ग पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्या विषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्ग पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्यविषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्ग पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्तिलक्षणश्चैव त्रैगुण्यविषयो मुने यौसावलीन प्रकृतेर् गुणसर्गः पुनः पुनः प्रवृत्ति बाय इन्क्लिनेशन् लक्षणः सिम्टमाइज्ड् च also, eva, indeed.
Trigonia, the three modes of nature. Vishayaha, possessing as objectives. Mune, O great sage. Yah, which. Asao, that. Alina prakritehe, of one who is not freed from the clutches of Maya. Gunasarga, in which there is a creation of material bodies. Punaha, punaha, again and again. Translation. O great sage, Shukdev Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marga, by which one may be elevated to heavenly planets, as you have already described, parentheses in the third canto. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Devavrata Devan, Pitrin Yanti Pitravrataha, Bhutani Yanti Bhutejya, Yanti Madhyajino Apimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they are qualified to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets because of his attraction to the material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to a higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home, back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world. Yad gatva nanavartante tadhama paramam mama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyaban Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary systems and sometimes down to the lower planets. This is the material disease, which is known as Pravritti Marga. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to the Nivritti Marga, the path of liberation, and thus instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home, back to Godhead. This is necessary. Om Agnana Timirantasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namam Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guroho Shri Yutupadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Praviti Lakshanas Cheva, Trigunya Vishayo Mune, Yosau Alina Prakriter, Guna Sarga Puna Puna. Here in the beginning of the sixth canto, in the first several verses, leading up to Maharaj Parikshit's essential question, he is intelligently repeating what he has heard so far. Because even in ordinary convention, at least in professional circles, it's advised that when we're having a serious discussion, one should repeat what one understands the other person to be saying in order to clarify any potential misunderstanding. And so Maharaj Parikshit is doing that here. He's pointed out yesterday, does anyone remember what was discussed yesterday? There's two things. There's Pravritti Marg and there's Nivritti Marg. Today we're mentioning Pravritti Marg, what was mentioned yesterday. Nivritti Marg. Nivritti Marga Kathita Adau Bhagavata Yatha Krama Yogopalabdhena Brahmana Yad Asamsritihi. Samsriti means the no more samsara. And according to the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada pointed out in yesterday's purport, kramena yoga upalabdhena means that generally people traverse the path of karma first. When one is wisened by experience through karma, then one can take to jnana. And when jnana completely matures, according to Krishna in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, then one comes to bhakti. Of course, bhakti yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious person with no assets in karma or an illiterate person with no assets in jnana yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to bhakti yoga. So, today, in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, emphasizing the principle of mercy, which is really the essence of bhakti in many respects. So yesterday was Nivritti Marga, and today is Pravritti Marga. Srila Prabhupada indicates here in his purport that whether one is elevated or degraded through his karmic activities, they're both considered to be Pravritti Marga. But in general, we assume that Pravritti Marga refers to karma, or pious activities that are performed according to scriptural injunction, particularly the performance of one's prescribed duty, because everyone has a prescribed duty. Whether he knows it or not, that's another matter. in the Western world, not Western world, now in the modern world, pretty much anywhere, even in India, one spends the first, say, 20 or 30 years of one's life just trying to figure out what is his psychophysical nature, especially because we're convinced that we're our bodies and our minds, if not our bodies. This becomes all important, all-consuming concern. So it takes someone that long. But in a society where samskar has been practiced, so what does samskar mean? Refinement. It means psychological refinement. It also means social refinement. It means the refinement of your activities. It means refinement in general. Therefore, the word, in at least in Hindi now, for culture is sanskriti. That is to say, the cultivation of samskara. So Vedic society, Hindu society, we can say certainly also Vaishnava society, has also placed an emphasis on this samskara, and its importance is explicitly recognized in some of the darshans. There are six philosophical systems that interpret Vedic literature. Two of them that go together are Sankhya and Yoga, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that these two are not really different. Several times, actually, at least three or four times throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this. So in the yoga process, one is concerned with, one scholar, Indological scholar named Klaus Klostermeyer, who's a friend of ISKCON, and was an associate of Srila Prabhupada in the early 1960s. He was associated with Srila Prabhupada briefly in Vrindavan, as well as with Prabhupada's godbrothers. This scholar, he writes in his book, A Survey of Hinduism, that yoga really means Vedic psychology. That's how he translates it, Vedic psychology. Nowadays in Hindi they call it manovignan, applied understanding of the workings of the mind. But in fact, this function has been traditionally been served since time immemorial through the cultivation of yoga, awareness of the importance of samskara, how our mind is elevating us and degrading us within this pravritti marga that Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport today. So samskara is a very important thing. And whether one is engaged in pious activity or an impious activity, as long as the mind is infected by some particular mode of material nature, one is going to be reincarnated. That is a given. And it doesn't matter whether one is a devotee or not. That is to say, until one becomes a pure devotee, this will go on. Because we have many examples of mixed devotees, like Lord Brahma and his associates and various other demigods. They take birth again according to the modes of material nature that they have become attached to, and according to the samskaras that they have either consciously or unconsciously cultivated through those activities. So as long as the mind is colored with fruit of activity, this is called in the fifth canto karmatmaka, one is bound to the process of repeated birth and death. And Maharaj Pariksit is pointing out that this has already been discussed. Now, according to Sridhar Swami, who comments on this verse, he similarly points out for us that back in the third canto, this has all been discussed. Does anyone remember anything from the third canto? He quotes, I think it's canto 3, chapter 32, text number 20. And that chapter in general is dealing with the reactions of the living entities and those who are entangled in fruitive activities. That whole section of the Bhagavatam, Kapila Deva is instructing his mother and talking about this general process. But here the idea is, again, according to Sri Goswami, pravritti marg means those who are basically attached to sense gratification but pious enough to understand that the proper way to enjoy sense gratification is by receiving mercy from authority. That really is the distinction between the demon and the demigod. Asura, what is that verse? Dvaubhuta sargao loke smin deva asura eva cha vishnu bhakti paras smrito deva asuras tad viparya. Those who are amenable to accepting the authority of Lord Vishnu, or by extension his representatives, especially his devotees, Those persons are called devas. And anybody who has another idea or who is contrary to this principle, he's called asura, ungodly, or a demon. So even the devas, they have to take birth again, and we will also have to take birth again if we follow in the devas' path, in the pravritti marg, rather than the nivritti marg. Therefore, in the third canto, and also here, the nivritti marg is going to be emphasized. Pravritti marg is always discouraged, because ultimately it goes nowhere. And Prabhupada is hinting that in his purport today, with such sentences as, he put it very well. Anyway, I can't find it. But the idea is that as long as one is, what does Prabhupada use the word, rotating, rotating in material existence. Why does he use this word, rotating? Because we're going like a wheel. I've mentioned before, the Kalidas, the Sanskrit poet, in his, I think it was Meghaduta, he says that our fortunes in this material world are just like the spokes of a wheel. And any minute, a rapidly spinning wheel, any one of those spokes is on top, but the split second later, not even 1 second later, it's on the bottom. Because we're rotating. When you look at this whole of material existence within the scope of eternity, then it loses all of its significance. The things that we waste our human form of life getting so much absorbed in, the people are worried about whether to keep the bank balance, or they're worried about their image in society, or they're worried about their health. Of course, these are all important concerns within their sphere of operation, but within the scope of eternity, they really don't have any significance. And it, certainly at the time of death, it doesn't matter what you've done in life unless it's negative. Then it really matters. But even if it's negative or positive, it ultimately goes nowhere. It ultimately dissolves itself through time. The time factor is such a thing. Therefore, it represents the supreme personality of Godhead in that he eats everything. He eats up the three universes through time. And all their effects also disappear. Just like we have what we call good times, and we also have bad times. And then these times pass, as the winter and the summer seasons also pass, and we have nothing left of those good times or those bad times but our memories. And eventually, even those memories pass, we lose our memory of good times and bad times, and then it becomes still more subtle, and there's nothing left but the trace that imprints itself upon our psychology and manifests in terms of what Prabhupada here is here calling various tendencies or propensities. That's called samskara also. So the cultivation of refinement and the effect of one's refinement, there the same word is used, the cause and the effect. The cause is the activity that you perform, whether it's gross or subtle, pious or impious, it always causes some result, and that result is also called samskara. So in due course of time, all that's left is the residual trace, the imprint on our mind of things that we generally have an inclination to do or to avoid. And in due course of time, even that changes also. One Swabhava, Hitopadesh tells a very nice story, stands out above all things. I don't know if I've told this story before, but there was a tiger, an old tiger. You know about this one? There's a tiger, he became too old to hunt anymore. And so he decided that he had to figure out something else to do. So he sat down on the bank of a kunda, on the bank of some river, say, holy place, where pilgrims were coming to bathe before doing their whatever we do at holy places. And so he was sitting there, and he was like putting tilak on people like they do. And he also had a gold bracelet, and he was offering this gold chain to whoever would come. And because he was a tiger, everybody just looking at him, they would go the other way. And he said, no, I've reformed. In my old age, I've become wise, and I've taken sannyas, as it were, and I've studied all the Dharma Shastras, and to purify myself for all my previous sins of eating people, I'm giving in charity very valuable things, gold chain. And to those who are adhyatmarthis, those who are spiritual aspirants, those who have come to the holy place for pilgrimage. So he had some luck. Eventually one person came and he put his faith in this tiger. And when he stepped into the tank to take his bath, there was quicksand right there where the tiger was sitting. And so he couldn't get out again. And the tiger very happily took away his bracelet, took back his bracelet, and ate the person right there on the spot. And so the moral of the story, this is from Hitopadesh, says that it doesn't matter how many shastras a person has studied. It doesn't matter what kind of austerities or pujas or homas or yajnas one has performed. It really doesn't matter. The thing that stands out in all circumstances is one's swabhava, the internal nature, the samskara, as it were, that one has cultivated over many, many lifetimes. And most of us, as I said, we're not even in touch with that. We're not even on the map in terms of self-awareness, which, according to modern psychologists, is the beginning of all therapy. Self-awareness. If awareness, in general, what does awareness mean? Jnana. To be able to measure something. Jnana. To be able to understand something. That is one of the primary symptoms of the mode of goodness. So, when a society is avoiding the sattva guna and instead indulging in tamoguna or in rajoguna in its better moments, then one becomes thoroughly bewildered and one is not even in touch with one's psychophysical nature, what to speak of one's spiritual nature. So this is the unfortunate condition in modern society. And therefore, brahmanda brahmite, we are wandering from one universe to another impelled by this samskar, this impious or pious predisposition, and we can never get out of this. Saṃsāra dāvāna laliha loka trānaya kārunya ghanāghanātvam prāptasya kalyāna gunārana vasya vande guru śrīhi charanāravindam. Just as we sing every morning. It's like here in California, of course today we're not going to have any fires, but generally in the summer we get these fires and sometimes it seems they burn down half the state. A few years ago when I was in Temecula, I went outside from my mother's house and the sky was orange. It was a dirty brownish orange color and there was smoke everywhere and half the city were walking around with masks because the fires were so close. So when there's a fire of that magnitude, nobody can do anything about it. They called in Riverside County Fire. They called in Orange County Fire. The fire departments from multi-counties, even from across the country, fire departments regularly come to California to try to put out these wildfires, and they still can't do it. Devi hiesha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya. So, in that circumstance, the only thing that can help us is a cloud. And according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this cloud has to be qualified. What is the qualification of the cloud, rain cloud? He has to be drawing water from the ocean through the agency of the sun. The cloud is drawing water from the ocean of auspicious qualities, kalyana guna, arnava. That's Krishna. Krishna is the repository of all wonderful qualities. And the rain clouds, that is the devotees, especially the spiritual master, they're pulling rain out of this ocean because they're regularly in touch. They're hearing, they're serving. They're associating with the Supreme Lord. They are connected. Therefore, they can act as a conduit or as the rain cloud, and they can sprinkle the rain of mercy. Upon the conditioned souls who are afflicted, who are burning, parched, scorched by the misery of material existence. And until that happens, we really don't have any deliverance. We may become a demigod, and that's great for as long as it lasts, but it doesn't last very long, again, within the eternal scope of time. Now, those of us who are completely riveted into the bodily concept of life cannot see this, cannot see the insignificance of our current circumstances, and therefore we become overwhelmed. And to the extent that we are associated with the mundane energy, again, To that extent, we are vulnerable to this process of being overwhelmed by Maya. So Krishna consciousness is really, it's a process of sangha. Sangat sanjayate kama, Krishna says. As we associate, so we desire. So in Krishna consciousness, we associate with Krishna, we associate particularly with devotees of Krishna, because Krishna normally will interact with us through the devotees. Abnormally, sometimes Krishna does so directly, he gives us mercy directly, but generally he is going to reciprocate with us through devotees. So this is the nivritti mark. When we take shelter of those who represent Krishna, and who have realized especially the futility of any cultivation within the realm of karma, then we can actually go somewhere. Then we can be solidly situated on the nivritti path. And this is mentioned especially in the Mundaka Upanishad and other places, Shruti mantras, that one should not waste time, Isha Upanishad as well, one should not waste time, even though you can live clean and enjoy life in this material world for hundreds and hundreds of births if you so choose. Those who are actually, Kapila Dev uses very strong terms. Back in the third canto, in that passage that Sridhar Swami has referred to, Kapila Dev actually tells his mother that these people are averse to Krishna and that basically they're rascals. He castigates them in no uncertain terms. These are the people who are following the Vedic literatures. These are the people who are doing the yajñas that Krishna himself praises in Bhagavad Gita. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani manishinaha. One should never give up sacrifice, charity, and austerity because they purify even the great souls. But even if one does this in a non-devotional spirit, then according to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev, they're rascals. And this is always, at least in our literature, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also, what does he tell Arjuna? Nistraigunya bhava, become free from the influence of these three modes of material nature. Transcend this pravritti marg, take to the nivritti marg. Nivritti marg means we don't want to come back again. Tomal Krishna Goswami was giving a nice lecture. He said they, not with regards to the karmis, but with regards to the gyanis, he said they want to be here now and we want to get out now. So this is our program. And here we're talking a little bit about pravritti marg. By contrast, tomorrow's verse is going to get more pungent, because tomorrow we'll hear about adharma. Because pravritti marg, after all, is within the scope of dharma. Even though it's foolish, even though it causes suffering, it perpetuates material rebirths and redeaths, transmigration. And even though for those who are determined not to surrender to Krishna, but to stay pious and act within the Vedic authority, for those persons it's also a non-devotional endeavor. Authorized non-devotionality, we can say. And this is what we do in the material world. We try to exploit Krishna or his resources in the form of sahajya tendency or in the form of karma, karmic activity, dharma, or even adharma. Or we try to evade Krishna or his representatives through jnana. One or the other. We try to either exploit or to escape. And both of them are denounced by the Lord and his devotees. But here, nivritti marg, without Krishna, is also equally useless as the pravritti marg. And sometimes people have a lot of respect for jnana. And it's true, it is spiritual, more spiritual. Germans use a nice word for things that are subtle. Geist means it's not exactly metaphysical, maybe we can say. So even jnana, even though it's considered to be transcendence, the perfect jnani is considered to be a transcendentalist, but really, he's not, because he's still envious of Krishna. The disease of the heart is still there. The infection has not been removed. And so, on the pravritti marg, one is, as long as one is infected by the three modes of material nature, Srila Prabhupada says, he has to take birth again in higher or lower stations, greater or lesser material bodies. And even when one is on the nivritti marg, if he remains non-devotional, that infection has not been removed, and it's just a matter of time before he falls down, as we heard yesterday, from that position of imagined liberation. So he's going through the different cantos. Yesterday's verse he was referring to the subject matter of the second canto. Today he's referring to the subject matter of the third canto and fourth canto. Tomorrow's verse will deal with the fifth canto, and that brings us up to the current thing. And eventually Maharaj Pariksit, he raises his essential question, which is about the things that he's just heard. What have we just heard about, having finished the fifth canto? We heard about hell. So Maharaj Pariksit, interestingly, Srila Prabhupada points out, he wasn't thinking so much about himself, but he was concerned about all these other people who were definitely going to hell, because Maharaj Pariksit was not going to hell. He's a great devotee, but he was still concerned about the others. And so he eventually raises his question that, you know, what to do? How do people get out away from this? How can we save them? And what does Shukadeva Goswami answer? Does anyone know? Anybody who's looked ahead? He tricks him. He says, if one has engaged in the sinful activities that, not just activities, mind you, let's take note of this. We generally think in terms of sinful activities, and we use this term, Srila Prabhupada often uses it as well, sinful activity. But a lot of the things that we've read about in the fifth canto, they are the result not of activity, but of a mental state, of virtue or its lack. Also, for those who have background in Roman Catholicism, they have venial sins and, what are they called, the major sins and minors? Yeah, mortal sins and venial sins. So even some of these sins, they're not so much activities as much as one's state of consciousness. If one cultivates greed, for example, consciously or unconsciously, one is culpable for that. Something to take note of. So therefore, again, the importance of samskar has to be recognized. And Maharaj Pariksit is asking that how can someone become freed from these hellish destinations? And at first, Shukadeva Goswami tricks him. He says, well, one has to perform atonement. We already know that that's not really the answer, don't we? He says, according to Manusmriti and other things, one has to atone. And then Maharaj Pariksit, it's like he was setting him up for this question. Maharaj Pariksit comes back and says, well, wait a minute. If one atones for his sin, but still has an inclination to commit that sin or to indulge in that sinful mentality, then what's the point of the atonement? It's like an elephant who goes and takes a bath and then throws dust all over himself. We don't see this so much in Los Angeles, but in some places still in India, after they bathe the elephant, like if you go to Mayapur, you can see sometimes, I don't know what the new elephant's name is. It used to be Gulab Kali. Is she still there? I think there's a couple of new ones now. Anyway, after they bathe the elephant, then the elephant throws dust all over himself or herself. So Maharaj Pariksit says it's just like that. So where are we actually going with this? He comes to the same conclusion that Shukadeva Goswami is trying to lead us to. That any kind of involvement in the pravritti marg is ultimately useless. You're going up, you're going down. All of it's temporary, all of it's illusory. It has no meaning, ultimately. Therefore, one has to transcend. And I won't spoil the plot, but we know that this Ajamil Upakhyan, the narrative of Ajamil and his history, is to emphasize this point. That even a person who has been neglectful of the pravritti marg, even a person who's been very sinful, in fact, and who has not cultivated even nivritti marg in the form of jnana, even that person can be delivered through the highest resolution, the greatest synthesis of the best points of either system, which is bhakti, particularly in chanting the holy name. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Bhanavata Prabhu. In chapters 14 and 17 and 18 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna dilates in great detail on the nature of these three modes of material nature that Prabhupada has already mentioned in today's verse. It's very important that we study those.
Oh, thank you for a very enlightening class. You spoke extensively about explaining the difference between pravriti marg and nivriti marg, and talking about the importance of samskaras, one psycho-physical condition. And I wanted to ask you, therefore, how important is the institution of varnashram dharma in all this, and is it even possible at this stage to be able to institute varnashram dharma and apply the principles to present day modern society?
This is an excellent question, but before I answer it, I would like to ask anyone else in the audience if you have any answer to this question. What is the importance of varnashram dharma with regards to these points that we've been discussing, pravriti marg, nivriti marg, and particularly samskara, or purification of one's consciousness? Now, Archita Prabhu?
I would simply refer everybody to the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. If you remember that conversation, then you already know the answer.
Okay, so that's one answer. Any other answers? We have contradictory answers on this, mind you, so I'm kind of setting you up. Shashi Chanoi Prabhu?
Since we are a preaching movement and we're meant to uplift society, and we're supposed to be the exemplars of that preaching, we are obliged to the acharyas. In this case, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted that to happen. He said that 50% of his work, I think, was done, and the rest has to be done. So the disciple who wants to follow the orders of the spiritual master, as a missionary activity, where we have to do this.
Very good point. Because we're preaching, and because we want to be examples of what we preach and what our books teach, and our books definitely mention varnashram dharma, we also want to uphold it. You see what I mean? We have an apparent contradiction here. On one hand, varnashram is it's ephemeral for sure. It's within the realm of pravriti marg that we've been discouraging, and it's ultimately superfluous, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least with regards to their discussion of love of God, Ramananda Samvada, which you can study. At the same time, for us, it is the order of the spiritual master. And a few days before Srila Prabhupada left this world, he emphasized this for us again. And he said that he even called it the remaining 50% of his mission, so important he felt it was. My godbrothers Sureshwara Prabhu and another devotee named Hare Krishna Dasi, they put together a book, a compilation of quotes by Srila Prabhupada on this topic. And he told me that when they were doing the research for that book, they became astounded to see that the context of most of the instructions that they found, at least within the letters and discussions, they were addressing the problems that devotees in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness themselves were experiencing in trying to execute pure Krishna consciousness above the platform of pravriti marga. In other words, in order to execute nivriti marga, we also have to follow the pravriti marga. It's not that when one is on the nivriti marga, the injunctions of the scripture are thrown out the window. That's one point. That's a logical point. A theological point is that the order of the spiritual master is the active ingredient of spiritual life. And the spiritual master has ordered throughout his books that although it's not possible, as Bhanabhata Prabhu pointed out, to perfectly execute varnashram dharma, in fact it's not possible to perfectly execute anything in this material world. Although it's not possible to perfectly execute varnashram dharma, still we have to do it. To the extent that we can. Every endeavor is covered with some sort of flaw. But it would seem, at least according to Sureshwar and Hare Krishna Dasi, it would seem that Srila Prabhupada experienced at some point in his preaching to particularly Westerners, but nowadays that means everyone, including Indians, it would seem that Srila Prabhupada saw the necessity of purifying them on the psychophysical level, with the traditional mode of purification in the form of occupational duties and sadharana dharma, means ordinary sadachar as well, because these things are lacking in modern society. They're not only lacking, but in fact they're discouraged, especially in India. So it's although it's superfluous, it's also an, it's the most essential part of the bhakti yoga process, pure devotional service, for us, not for others. Is that okay? So this is the austerity, that although we have a task that's, in terms of fruit of intent, is hopeless, still we do it. That's my understanding. So it's getting late, and I don't want to take too long. Nobody else has any questions anyway, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.